If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We're just marveling here on The Drive over this 67-pound goldfish.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That was found in a pond or lake or somewhere in France. It was caught and released, so they caught it. They caught it on a
imagine hauling him in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a big, round, happy fellow, like you'd be on a little on a little bowl in your kitchen, but just a really, really big bowl and grew into a 67-pound monster goldfish.
Catch a 67-pound goldfish. Right. I'm not even sure. typically you give them fish food, but you certainly wouldn't do that,
right,
with a 67.
Imagine hauling him in. You're sitting there.
I've caught fish that are almost that big, carp and things of that nature. 67-pound goldfishes.
That's pretty crazy.
It's a monster. It's a big, fat goldfish belly on that thing.
He's a round, happy fella. He looks like a pet.
Gets to go back in. It must be nice and warm there in France.
I guess. Apparently. Not many predators. Yeah. Some little kid threw his little goldfish in there when he was 2 inches and then turned in 67 pounds later.
Yeah, he has not gone belly up and gotten. Maybe somebody flushed him down the toilet.
That's what I'm thinking.
And
right. He's happy about it.
Yeah.
Had a long and fruitful life. An odd beginning to an odd week here.
Yeah, I just saw that on Twitter. I'm like, wow, that's 67-pound goldfish.
There.
Yeah. Steelers beginning their practice week today for their game Monday night in Indianapolis. Mike Tomlin.
As if Thanksgiving week isn't weird enough.
Yeah.
Now they're playing on Monday night, too. And we're going to be all discombobulated for a week or two.
Mike Tomlin, 18-3.
Unbelievable.
On Monday nights.
I mean, that's remarkable. He's had some great teams, but they're not a powerhouse every year he's been there.
Right.
They often play. It's not a fluke.
Yeah.
It can't be.
And that's winning at home. They have a 20-game home Monday night winning streak,
which is
insane. That goes that predates Bill Cowher.
Wow. Okay. So they haven't lost at home in 20 games. Wow. I mean, I knew it was long. I didn't realize it was extensive.
Yeah. But 18-3 on Monday nights on the road. That's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's just a remarkable streak. And
there has to be something too.
What's really remarkable is their record against the Indianapolis Colts.
I know.
They have owned the series.
Them. Yeah. In my stat pack, that's one of the little things I do. I couldn't believe it was that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they have like three or four wins against the Steelers in history.
Yeah. And so team that had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck.
Right, I'm saying they've had some in recent history. Good teams. Yeah. Like, I didn't think they'd be great against the Steelers in the 70s, you know, but since then you'd think it'd be even or maybe a lean towards the Steelers.
And yeah.
So you're thinking, I can't remember too many Colts victories as a fan watching either.
The only one I can remember offhand is the one in 2005 when the Steelers went there.
Okay.
In the regular season, I think it ended up being 28-7 or something like that. Ike Taylor gets beat on a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage, and then my ears bled the rest of the way because they were cranking the music up in there to the point my ears still ring from that.
Like, that was like one of the loudest places you've ever been in your life. Right?
It was the loudest place I've ever been. You couldn't hear
damage, huh?
The guy sitting next to you in the press box. You couldn't have a conversation. You couldn't.
Wow.
You had to scream in each other's ears, couldn't hear.
I mean, just
closer.
2 feet away, yeah.
Yeah. And you still couldn't hear him.
In the press box.
In the press box.
Is it a closed press box?
No, it's an open.
It's an open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. So, yeah, it's a place that obviously, you know, every player is familiar with.
Yeah. Because, as are we. We go there every year, too, as well, like our trips to Indy.
I don't think that has anything to do with it, the Steelers'
success
there, because not everybody has that kind of success there. But the Steelers have, and I made note of this last night. I texted you about it. The stats on these two teams, particularly on offense, are eerily the same.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, when you look at the course of the year, a lot of them are pretty bad, you know? I mean,
yeah.
But the last couple weeks, things are picking up and things have changed for them with a new coach, you know, the Steelers post-bye. It is interesting. I mean, there are a lot of similarities. That's a good defense they have, too. I found it a little funny because I think a lot of people, when the Saturday move was made, just went, oh, everyone's going to roll all over the Colts. And I'm not saying they're a powerhouse, but they were 3-5-1 when that coaching change was made. And they had played two games with Ellinger, who's not an NFL quarterback. They had beaten the Chiefs. I mean, they have some good things going on.
Yeah, right.
You know? And I don't think Saturday's been the magic elixir either.
No, I just think he went back to Matt Ryan. He started giving, you know, Jonathan Taylor the football.
Pretty simple formula. You know, put an NFL quarterback in, they get it out of his hands super quick, and give your best player the football.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what they were built to do in the beginning. And the line's playing a little better, too.
If you look at this Colts team. Yeah, 19 turnovers this year. Matt Ryan's a big part of that.
He is, he is.
But if you look at this Colts team, the one thing that they don't do, which has kind of been the Steelers' Achilles heel this season, is go down the field.
Is go down the field, yeah. They have three interesting receivers that are all very, very different. Pittman's their one, but he's not Julio Jones.
He averages like 10 yards a catch.
Yeah,
you know?
And you'll look at it, I'm sure, tonight or whatever, but in that stat pack, it's very obvious what they do with these guys. You know, Pierce has like all the 20-yard deeper throws. Pittman's average depth of target's very short, but he's a high volume guy. He's a big, powerful receiver that in another situation would probably be doing better, to be honest. And Campbell's kind of the after the catch, I don't say gimmicky, but he's really good with the ball in his hands. He might get a jet sweep. So they're all three are really different.
Yeah.
And the tight ends don't really exist.
And the tight ends don't exist.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to run Taylor 20 to 25 times in this game, whether it's, you know, the key is making sure, particularly against this team, is that you stop the run.
Absolutely.
If you let Matt Ryan get into third and fourth situations, he's going to convert those.
Yeah. If you watch Colts Eagles from this past week, you might think, man, Colts hung around pretty well there. Well, the first drive, they basically went right down the field on the back of Taylor. And then the Eagles said, we just, you know, signed Sue and Joseph for a reason. Let's just plug huge bodies in the middle of this defense. And Taylor had like 30 more yards the rest of the year, the rest of the game on 15 carries. Like, then they didn't really have a counterpunch, you know. So if Ryan's going to beat you by dinking and dunking, so be it. It looks a little like the Steeler offense last year in terms of quarterback being smart and getting it out of his hands, but doesn't have second reaction ability.
You know right where he's going to be at.
Right. A lot of defenders near the line of scrimmage. And when they take shots, they're kind of calculated or easy to spot.
Yeah. You know? Max protect and, okay, we're going to send somebody
action,
deep. Yeah.
Here goes Pierce down the sideline. Break it up, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so it's going to be an interesting game and a chess match in that regard. I know people are now down on the Steelers' defense. They've been down on the Steelers' offense. Again, if you look at the DVOAs on this stuff, Steelers are 2.5-point underdogs in this game.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say the Colts defense is probably the best unit of the four, certainly statistically through the season.
But let's not forget, they get to play Houston a couple of times. They get to play Jacksonville. You know, so.
And I think I'd take the Steelers D over the Colts D.
I think
right
so, too.
This minute.
They have more playmakers. Yeah. That's the problem. The problem with the Colts defense is they don't take the ball away.
They don't take the ball away. No. I mean, like, Gilmore's playing well. Yeah. Buckner's a good player. They don't blitz at all. Yeah, I mean, they're very vanilla. They're the last remaining cover three Seattle-type team, and it's working for them, but they don't have a lot of splash.
Yeah. Talking with Kenny Pickett today, he talked about, you know, the Steelers, we need to move the ball, or we need to move Deontay Johnson more around on the in the formation.
Mm-hmm.
Gilmore does follow.
He will, yeah.
I don't expect him to follow Deontay Johnson this week necessarily because
I don't know if he will or not, yeah.
He's only played 5 snaps in the slot this year.
Right.
So he doesn't go inside. If the Steelers, you know, they're talking.
Moore's a great slot.
Yeah, player, if the Steelers are talking about getting Johnson, moving him around the formation more, and they're going to play cover three, well, they're not going to play a lot of man-to-man defense.
Mm-hmm. They're a heavy zone team.
Yeah, just, you know, move him to the slot, get him in the bunch packages, and get him in situations where he can run after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be ideal. You're not going to get a lot of blitz. I think they'll be able to protect reasonably well, but their front is talented. Buckner's their best guy. Kwity Paye and some of these, you know, Yannick Ngakoue and these guys are good, but they're not superstars. I mean, I think they should be able to hold up. But I'm with you. I mean, I think it's key to move these receivers around a little bit more, pre-snap motion, bunches, things like that that you mentioned, and get them in space if possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's very feasible. The other thing I noticed when really doing my research was the Colts do a really good job statistically against receivers, but not tight ends.
Yeah. Well, because you play a lot of that zone and you're going to give that up. I mean, it's like, what, you know, when the Bengals were good, mm-hmm. when they were a good team, they did that a lot. They'd play that umbrella.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you'd look up and Heath Miller would have 10 catches for 98 yards at the end of the game.
I think it's going to be a blow up Freiermuth game.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any real answer for him. Their linebackers are decent in coverage, as are their safeties. But to your point, the style of play allows for a lot of tight end production.
Yeah.
You know?
And your veteran receivers should be able to sit down and find open spots in the zone and
mm-hmm.
do those kind of things. So, interesting, you know.
It's an interesting matchup.
It really is.
It looked like a boring one a couple weeks ago, and it's not.
Yeah. I also expect the Steelers' defense, even though Ryan's getting the ball out quickly, I would expect them to get pressure on Matt Ryan.
I would, too. Their O-line is far and away the highest-paid O-line in the league. Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
And that makes some sense. I mean, Nelson's worth the money, and Kelly's a high-end center, and Braden Smith, the right tackle, is a good player. But those three have all had their worst year. And the right guard, left tackle situation is horrendous.
Abysmal.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
Raymond played a little better this last week or two. Still had like 3 penalties. I mean, at left tackle. I mean, he's in way over his head. And as good as Smith is, who isn't spectacular, they're going to have to help him with Watt. I mean, there's no way they're leaving Braden Smith alone with Watt.
No.
And on the other side, the left tackle situation is Ryan's going to get hit a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the ball comes out remarkably quick.
And we've seen the Cam Hayward matchup with Nelson.
No, he'll hold his own.
Yeah.
I mean, if not win it.
If not win it. It seems like, you know, Hayward's power is the one thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Nelson's kryptonite.
And his length, too.
I mean,
he gets in him with that bull rush and the long arms and walks him back, which few can do on Nelson, but he's one of the ones that can. I would think Ogunjobi and Highsmith should have massive games.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting you mentioned the penalties. They got Bill Vinovich's crew in this game.
Mm.
Bill Vinovich's crew is called a league low 8 penalties per game.
Really? Okay.
They are the team or the group that doesn't call anything.
I wonder who that favors. I mean, I often think about teams that are bad in protection, like the Colts. I mean, maybe you're going to get away with more holds on Watt and Highsmith and those guys. But the Steelers play more man coverage. They might be able to be grabbier down the field than the Colts are.
One penalty they haven't called this season, Vinovich's crew, ineligible man downfield.
Oh,
haven't
good.
Caught a single one all season long.
Nobody
all
wants
season
to,
long.
Nobody wants to see them. I mean, of course, when it's your team and the flag comes out and you get it in your favor, you're like, oh, good, we get some free yardage. But nobody, I mean, Joe average fan doesn't want to see those penalties being thrown.
They have called 19 holding penalties this year. That's their most offensive holding penalties. But not a single
concern with Watt, obviously.
Ineligible downfield hasn't happened in a Bill Vinovich game this year.
Wow, maybe he's just against it. And
I'm not calling
nice
that.
Work, Bill. I'm in your corner on that, Bill. Cool. Nobody wants to see these. He's 1 yard too far downfield.
Frustrating as hell. In fact, I saw a video. I think Joe Starkey posted a video of the first screen that Cincinnati ran on Sunday for a touchdown.
Okay.
And two of the Bengals linemen were a yard further downfield than they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it should have been called.
It should be a penalty.
But it wasn't. So it's not.
As a football fan, it doesn't break my heart that it wasn't called.
No.
But I get it. Like, I was watching the Eagles game, and Kelsey thinks it's a run, blocks his guy way too well.
Yeah.
You know, just mows him down the field, and they throw a flag.
That's not supposed to be a penalty.
It just hurts through the ball.
If you're
engaged
with the blocking somebody, if you're blowing them off the line of scrimmage, it's not supposed to be a penalty.
Yeah. I think whoever the paid official was on the broadcast team said, well, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he did his job. Right. You know, I don't know. I hate that rule right now.
Ridiculously officiated. Yeah. Nobody, you know, and I'll say this again. In a season where points are at a premium.
Right.
You're taking nice gains off the board by calling that penalty, and it doesn't really affect these plays.
We've seen some penalties that are emphasized in the preseason, which means, look out, they're going to call a ton of these.
Usually after the first 3 weeks of the regular season, they back off a little bit.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Or by midseason, someone whispers in their ear, like, we're calling too many of these.
Yeah, but we're good now.
We're good. Like, I'm shocked that hasn't happened across the league.
Obviously, we've seen it called, I think, 6 times against the Steelers this year. That's the most in the league.
No, is it really?
The one that happened on Sunday, I can't say much about. It was a kind of a busted play to begin with.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't blame the lineman on that.
No, I mean, you could rarely blame the lineman.
Yeah.
But in that situation, like, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, the only time you can really blame the lineman is on a true screen.
Yes.
And you're getting downfield. An old school screen, if you get downfield too early, that's on the lineman.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. There's a timing involved to that. I mean, there's a lot of practice to run screens well as a team, you know.
I'm interested to see Kenny Pickett in a dome.
Yeah. I mean, not have to deal with any weather of any sorts. I'm not worried about arm strength or hand size or any of those things, but he still hasn't exactly shown that it's not a problem at all. I mean, that's going to be a 3-year project of dealing with multiple weather conditions, but I expect Pickett to play pretty well. I mean, I think he played much better from the pocket this past week. We were talking with Merrill Hodge the other day for a show for tonight, and he was saying, I thought that was the best Pickett's played in a Steeler uniform. He said, but the bad throws or a couple of them that he threw at people's feet, he just thinks he's playing too fast. You know, his mind's just really fast right now, as all rookies are.
Yeah.
Merrill told the story about he missed a block as a rookie, didn't even know, and Chuck Noll chewed him out, and he said, Coach, I didn't miss a block. And the guy, watch the tape, the guy ran right by him, he didn't even see it, because mind spinning so much.
Right.
You know, like, rookies are just digesting a lot.
I think some of his bad throws at times, too, are throwaways.
Yeah.
That read's not there. I'm just going to throw the ball at the receiver's feet, or I'm going to throw it over his head. And, you know, whereas I think when he gets a little more savvy on this stuff, he may, you know, keep the ball a little bit and look for something else or take off and run in those situations.
Agreed. He missed too many throws for my liking, for sure.
Yeah.
And left a lot on the table. But the other thing, too, is as observers, as fans, as analysts, we're also figuring out what his style is, too. You know, like, he does a couple things that a lot of quarterbacks do. Like, when he's running and he's behind the line of scrimmage, he'll toss it away instead of taking that half-yard sack. You know, little things like that. Or he stretches the ball out. You know, like, he's very aware of different things. You might be right about, I got nothing here, I'm going to sail this one and put it out of harm's
way.
It's going to look like
I can't get an intentional grounding call. I'm just going to throw it there and not take the sack.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Defensively this week for the Steelers, I'd like to see more of that three safety package.
Me too. Me too. I mean, I'd like to see less of Spillane, less of Millett.
I mean,
this team, maybe it's not as important because they're not going to throw it all over the yard. They're not going to attack every blade of grass. So maybe you do want bigger people in there to stop the run. I mean, that's job number one. And if you can do that out of big nickel, great. I just think that Spillane and Millett right now are targets. You know, a guy like Burrow is going to rip them up.
Yeah.
I don't think Ryan will.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that's why, you know, the Bengals are something of a bad matchup for the Steelers in this game, even without Ja'Marr Chase out there. It's how they're built to play.
We haven't got a chance to talk much because it's been such a weird week. I mean, the more I digest that game and the more people talk about, boy, the Steelers D was really bad, I don't think you guys are giving Burrow enough credit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think right now Mahomes is the only quarterback in the league playing better than him. I mean, he's really playing at an unbelievable level, and I thought he was ridiculously good in that game.
Yeah.
It doesn't excuse it. I mean, that's who you got to play twice a year. But
right.
Give the guy some credit.
Yeah, that's why, you know, when I did the pregame show and we made our picks on here last week, and I went through some of the different stats and my picks and everything, or my predictions and everything, and we got to time to predict the game, and Tim Benz is like, oh, I thought you were picking the Steelers in this game. I'm like, no. I said, I don't think they're going to sweep the Bengals this year.
Yeah. Bengals are a really good team.
If you told me that you know, they might sweep the Ravens again, okay, I could probably deal with that better than I can deal with them sweeping the Bengals twice because of Burrow.
But exactly. What I find really fascinating in the division is it's now a two-horse race in the division, of course. I think Cincinnati's a much better team than Baltimore right this minute. But Cincinnati is like the hardest schedule in the league going forward, and
Baltimore's the easiest. Yeah.
You know? So what are we really going to find out? Like, Cincy could get the short end of the stick and not end up in the dance when they're playing really well.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I think when you look at, I know everybody says, well, if the playoffs started today, four AFC East teams would be in the playoffs. They're going to play each other.
I can't see the Jets sustaining either.
They're going to Mike White.
Right. And
how's that going to work out?
I mean, quarterbacks matter here, folks. I mean, that's why I like Burrow so much.
Yeah. And those teams all have to play each other.
Right.
You know, somebody in that division is going 2-4 in a division at best.
I mean, I like Miami and Buffalo's chances of getting in the postseason, and I think Baltimore will probably go.
Like, has New England played Buffalo yet? I don't think they have. Yeah.
Right.
So are they gonna split butt with Buffalo? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Right.
So, you know, that's just how it works out. That's why when people were talking in the preseason, well, there's going to be four AFC West teams in the playoffs.
No chance.
No chance. They got to play each other.
Hard, yeah. Six seventeenths of your schedule are against those guys.
Right. Yeah, right. You know, even if you go 3-3.
If everyone goes 3-3.
If everybody goes 3-3.
Right.
Still makes it tough, yeah.
Right. Still three losses.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, did you know, and I know you do.
I do know.
You do know. You can listen to Steelers Nation Radio anytime, anywhere, through your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart, and Alexa will take care of the rest.
Nice.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.